Hallelujah. How many can amen that song today? Solo Gracia. Hallelujah. Thank God for His wonderful grace today. Now, we're in a Pentecostal church, and we're of the Pentecostal ilk. I remember a limerick that I learned in school, and it said a cow is of the bovine ilk. One end is moo, the other milk. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're of the Pentecostal ilk. And everywhere in the Bible, we see the word power. We think not of grace. We think of strength. Be strong in the Lord. That requires grace if it's in the Lord. Amen? You can't just get the Holy Ghost and not depend on God's grace anymore because you got the power. Can you say amen? I've told you this before, but we're making something here that's going to go up on the website and go on to the radio station. They're going to hear it in other places. When the thriller in the Manila was being fought years ago, some of you young folks don't remember when Muhammad Ali was the heavyweight champion of the world. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Amen. That was his motto. He had a big mouth and a big right hand. Amen. He backed it up by winning fights. And in the thriller in Manila, the one where he fought Frazier for the championship, he got on a plane to Manila, Philippines. And when he sat down on that plane, about a 98-pound stewardess, a little Filipino stewardess on that particular flight, the lights came on. They're getting ready to taxi down the runway for takeoff. Anybody ever flew and you hear a little ding and the light comes on and what does it say? Fasten your seatbelt. Fasten your seatbelt. So the stewardess, part of her job is to walk down the aisle as they're taxiing out, getting in line to take off, and make sure everyone has fastened their seatbelt. And everybody had on the plane except one person. Guess who? Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. He's sitting there, you know, not paying any attention to that. And she stopped at his aisle seat in first class and says, "Time to buckle up, champ." She recognized him, of course. "Time to buckle up, champ." And he said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She said, "Superman don't need no airplane either." The champ buckled up. Can you say amen? Let me tell you something. You still need grace after you get the Holy Ghost. You still need grace after you get saved. You still need grace after the gifts of the Spirit operate through you. You still need grace. And the reason people fall in the Pentecostal church is certainly not because they don't have the power. You shall receive power, dunamis, supernatural ability. But you still need grace. And when you just acknowledge you've got the power, but you don't have the sufficiency of His grace. You ever heard the term, the true term, except, regardless of how much power you have, except for the grace of God, there go I. That could be me that's fallen. That could be my marriage that's failed. That could be me that's overwhelmed by temptation. That could be me so discouraged I throw in the towel. That could be me that temptation has got the best of, except for the what? The grace of God. Is that a biblically accurate statement? It is not a scripture, but it's biblically accurate. It is substantiated all over the Bible. If God withdrew His grace from you, though you talk in tongues and speak with the tongues of men and angels and have visions and dreams and revelations. Listen, Paul said, if I get lifted up too high, I won't depend on grace. And all of the power vested in me by the Spirit will not keep me if I get away from that grace. So lest I be lifted up above measure through the many revelations. Revelations can get you to a place that you feel like, I know so much, I've seen so much, I have so much from God. I don't need the same grace that brand new Christian needs. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Lest I be lifted up above measure through what? My many revelations. There was given to me, that meaning God's permissive will, an emissary from Satan to buffet me. What an honor. What an honor. Paul said, I'm so honored that I'm such a threat to the devil, that a special agent, one of Satan's best henchmen, has been given one single assignment. That's bother Paul. Day and night, be on him, incite people to want to kill him, cause ships to wreck, storms, everything you can do to stop him, do it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say an emissary. That means special agent. That means Satan handpicked a demon and said, your whole job from here on out, don't worry about that revival over there. Don't worry about those prayer warriors over there. I'll send that to somebody else. There's one man I want you to zero in on. Paul. Everybody say, what an honor. Oh, by the way, before you... That was really enthusiastic. You're afraid? Yeah. Listen, if he could have, he would have. Everybody say, if he could have, he would have. You got enough of God in you that to bother the devil enough that if he could stop you, he would have. And if you let him, he will. But you're going to have to let him because he certainly has not the authority to do it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the devil. But all of that power is sustained by grace. You can't become self-sufficient. You can't let gifts make you self-sufficient. God wants you completely dependent on Him. For everything, for every breath, every moment. And the more power He allows and authority He gives you, the more He wants to remind you of just how much you need Him and His unmerited favor in your life. Ministers that fall will tell you the same thing. They got away from the cross. They operated in such power they didn't think they could ever fall. And when a man says what? Behold, I'm never... See, there is a positive confession, but this isn't it. This is not it. This is not it. It sounds like it, but it isn't. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I have power and authority. Honey, I've heard it from people that fell. They did have power. When a man says, behold, I stand, you've got to be careful what you say. If in any way it connotates, I have enough strength, I've got the power, I've got the revelation, I've got everything that I need and you need what I've got. You know what Paul's testimony was? Who made it through all of this junk? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Whatever God has used me powerfully to accomplish, grace undergirds all of that. And I had revelations. I'll say he did. He was so humbled by what God showed him. He said, I knew a man speaking of himself, but he wouldn't speak of himself in the first person for fear of pride. He said, I knew a man. Oh, listen, God resists the proud. Even spiritually, whatever, even our accomplishments, he resists the proud, but he giveth what to the humble? What does he give to the humble? Just grace to the humble. Praise God. Amen. He said, listen, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I knew a man, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell you that. How he translated me into that third heaven where only God can be, I don't know. Amen. But such a one saw things that I cannot even utter. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But he said, even after that kind of an experience with God, by the grace of God, whatever I am, it's by the grace of God. And lest I be lifted up above measure, fall into pride and self-sufficiency, there was given to me an emissary from Satan to buffet me. For this thing, I sought the Lord thrice. When God wants to get you into a place where you discover His grace is sufficient and you don't want to move away from that that is sustaining you. You will pray for things to change that won't change until you can come to that place where grace can become sufficient to you. If God answers the prayer without you coming to an end of yourself, you'll go back to the pattern of trusting in yourself. Did you hear me? If God answers, have you ever heard that song, thanking God for the prayers He didn't answer? Boy, you're going to have to grow up to do that. You're going to have to grow up enough to let God take you through it so you can look back on it and say, thank you, Lord, I'd never learned what I need to learn. Listen to this verse of Scripture. I know you don't want to hear it, but you know I don't care. It's not because I don't love you. It's because I love you too much to treat you like children and let the devil kill you. Amen? Listen, if you go to boot camp and you're going to battle, I hope you get a tough DI. I hope you don't get somebody that, I don't feel like getting up today. Well, bless your heart. I suppose you could just sleep in today. After all, you're just going to battle. I don't feel like running today with the full pack. Well, for heaven's sakes, if you don't feel like it, son, just stay in and read a comic book. And you're going to go to battle on that? If you think you're not in a battle, you're mistaken. The Bible said to endure hardness is what? A good soldier of who? Jesus Christ. Put on the... Listen, this is a militant army. This is military language. We're in a battle here. This battle raging and it's real. It's serious. People are turning back. The falling away is here. Christian, listen, great teachers are compromising the truth that they preached and proclaimed for 50 years and now they're turning their back on it. It would shock you to know how many Christian leaders are laying down the Bible and going with the flow so the world church can form. And believe me, the world church is coming. And every major religion, including Christianity, parts of Christianity, is going to buy into it. And they're going to have to make compromises and concessions for it to happen. And they're going to do it because it is coming. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And Satan is going to quit fighting all these religions. He'd rather have a false religion than a truth that could save men's souls and pluck them out of the jaws of death and hell. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. Endure hardness. Say hardness. Hardness. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope if you got into the military, you get a DI that makes a man out of you, that makes a woman out of you. Can you say amen? Somebody that'll prepare you for the day of battle. Because if you go ill-equipped in your attitude and in your physical condition and your armament into battle, guess who the first casualty is going to be? You. You're not trained. You're not conditioned. I know a young man that wants to get into the military bad. They said, come back when you lose 20 pounds. What? See how bad you want to get in the military. Paul said, I don't fight as one that beats the air. I buffet my body. I bring it because it ain't going to come on its own. Can you say, man, I bring it into subjection. Lest after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. Amen? It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to and run if you will. But I came here to stay. You know what I've had to do, and I didn't think I'd ever have to do it among Christians that know the truth, but turn away so quickly in these last days. I've had to get that Joshua 24:15 attitude. If Baal is God, go serve him. Well, friend, you got to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. Oh, don't tell me you don't serve nobody. They told me that down in the jailhouse when I had a jail ministry. Nobody tells me what to do. I said, what are you talking about? What kind of lie has the devil told you? I walked in here as a servant of Christ. I walked in here as a man who keeps the laws of the land. I'm going to walk out of here, but you ain't walking out. Say, man, nobody tells me what to eat. I can go to Wendy's. I can go to McDonald's, Mickey D's. I can go to a rib house. I can go get me some meat at Publix. I can fix my lunch and eat what I want. They're going to serve you something. You're going to eat it or you're going to starve. I can stay up all night and they're going to turn the lights out on you. Can you say, man, I can go walk around the yard. They're not letting you out of here. Amen. The devil promised you liberty and gave you bondage, but Jesus has come to set you free. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you haven't got enough of sin yet. Maybe you're not sin sick enough to get serious with God. But if you get sin sick enough, you'll be glad to serve Jesus. Hallelujah. I've had all the sin I can hack. It just about destroyed my life. It just about destroyed my family. Amen. Come on. Sin is a destroyer. Amen. So Paul said, I buffet my body. Sean was here. He always grins when I say that. Because the word for buffet is the same word for buffet. And most of us buffet our bodies. We're thinking more about the Golden Corral than the Golden Gates. Can you say, man? Well, we need to get it fixed. How many know we need to fix that? We need to set our sight on heaven. Praise God. This earth is passing. The comets are coming now. The asteroids are giving us some pause. 1,700 miles from Earth, this huge rock passes at 40,000 miles an hour through space. And that's what they saw and tracked. There's something they saw and they couldn't track it. And that's this little asteroid that came over Russia and came through the sound barrier and shattered windows like a 2.5 megaton atomic bomb when it burst. Amen. You know what John saw? John didn't know an asteroid from a comet. But he saw something fall from heaven that looked like one of those shining stars. Can you say, man? You know what John saw and what's going to happen? He said, I saw a star fall from heaven. And it fell into the midst of the sea. And when it hit the sea, it killed a third part of all the inhabitants of the sea. That is men and fish and every living organism. Can you say, man? That's coming during the tribulation period. And by the way, the tribulation is coming. As sure as Jesus is coming, the tribulation is coming. And I don't know about you, but that little jazz song that they're going to sing in some club in New Orleans ought to be the anthem for the church when the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! 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 When he calls his church home, I want to go up with him. Woo! It's worth the frowns on Sunday morning. It's worth the persecutions that go with standing for Jesus. Yeah. I won't help you backslide. You're going to have to do it on your own. Yeah. I won't help you turn away. You're going to have to do it without my help. I'm going to encourage you in the Word. I'm going to encourage you in the Lord. The Bible said, forsake not. For this encouragement, forsake not. You feel bad, you don't even want to be here. Hey, I felt the same way, but I come anyway. Because I know when I get here, he promised to meet with me. Where two or more gathered in my name, where's he at? Sitting way up in his heaven, aloof? No, he's right here in the midst of us. So if he's coming, I'm coming. If he don't show up, I won't be here anymore. But if two of us come together in his name, he said, I'm coming. And if he's here, hope is here. If he's here, help is here. If he's here, there's somebody here that can help you today. Save you, deliver you, and set you free. Him being here has got to make a difference. You say, Brother Wimble, I can't break the chains. You don't need to break them. Brother Wimble, I can't change myself. All you got to do is change your mind. He'll change you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. What you couldn't do in yourself, he can do in you. He can do for you, and he can do through you. This man right here will tell you, there ain't nothing God can't do. Jesus can do anything. God can do anything. He's a God who raises the dead, Abraham said. If he can raise the physically dead, he can take care of the deadness and barrenness in Sarah's womb. No limit to my God. Unbelief will keep you in Egypt and in bondage. Faith will put you into Canaan. Amen? Unbelief will cause you to die a prisoner. Faith will make you a prisoner of hope and set you free from bondage. We used to sing that little ditty, but it's so theologically true. Faith, faith, faith. Just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, but you just got to use every bit you got. You got to use it. Everybody say, use it or lose it. I'm serious. That's how it works. Amen. Whatever you ask in prayer, see, you got to use your faith when you pray. You can't just pray and sit there and complain. You got to use some faith when you pray. Whatever you ask in prayer, here's where faith becomes useful and used and active. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, thou shalt receive. For faith without works, believing, can you say, man, is dead. How dead?
Graveyard
dead. If you don't know how dead graveyard dead is, just after church, go with me to any of these funeral homes. Back in the back, getting prepared for funeral, there's some dead people. That's how dead faith is if you're not going to use it. You say, Brother Bimble, I don't have it. I don't feel. Quit feeling. Quit talking like that. Quit thinking like that. That's stinking thinking. Can you say amen? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You say, Brother Bimble, I don't have any faith left. Yes, you do. How do you know? Because the Bible said to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every person on this planet was given the measure of faith. The measure of faith is in you. How many has ever crossed the Skyway Bridge? How many saw the architectural plans for it before they built it? How many went with the inspectors to inspect the structure to see if it was stable? How many people knew the architect himself? How many people knew the contractor and worked with him in the building of it? And yet you'll get in your vehicle and drive 70 miles an hour over that sucker. Because you got faith that the people that built it knew what they were doing. With the traffic today, that would take some faith or foolishness, one or the other. You got the faith. We keep telling ourselves to let ourselves off the hook for not using it, that we ain't got it. God's word says to every man. Why? Because God couldn't hold you responsible for believing on Jesus if he didn't give you the faith to do it. The wrath of God abides on them that believe not, that don't use their faith to trust Christ as their Savior. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But to every man, that's why we went down to Haiti and we preached Jesus in areas that they'd never heard of Jesus. All that ever had steeped in them was ignorance, superstition, and witchcraft. But when we declared Jesus from the scriptures, they came to Christ. How could they do that without going through months and years of trying to deprogram them and reprogram them, because to every man is given the measure of faith. Hallelujah. They saw it, they accepted it, they believed it, and they received it. They went from light to from darkness to light. The Bible said when you believe, you're translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And it happens like that. Glory to God. That's why missionaries are so courageous. They know that God has went before them. God has put the faith in the heart of those people to believe the gospel when they hear it. The Bible warns you, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, unbelief is not doubt. We all have doubts. We all struggle with all of these different things. Unbelief is refusing to believe. I know it's what it is. I refuse. There were people like that in the New Testament. It said when they knew him, they would not confess him. They refused to believe. They refused to receive. Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Can you say amen? That's unbelief. Hallelujah. That's not doubt. We all wrestle with doubt. There's not a person in here. Brother Bellwood, surely you don't wrestle with doubt. You don't know what I wrestle with. If it's out there to wrestle, I wrestle with it. Brother Bellwood, I can't believe that you... Well, listen. How's this then for size? We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, temptations, fears, tears. But was in how many points? All points. Tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's been where you are. He knows where you are. He knows how to take you from where you are to where he's called you to be. And he does it with great compassion and great love for you. Can you say, man, isn't that incredible? We don't have a high priest that says, get it together. Straighten up. Straighten out. No, he says, come unto me. You that labor and are heavy laden. Come boldly, therefore, before the throne of grace, that you might obtain grace and mercy to help in the time. See, grace is always the undergirding strength. It's always there. You move away from that, you're saying, in essence, without maybe vocalizing or verbalizing, you're saying, behold, I stand. It said, you're the one in the most precarious, the one that is shouting about all your experiences, your revelations, and moving away from the humble dependency on God that you started with. You're the next failure. You're the next one to fall. Because when a man says, behold, I stand, he'd better take heed lest he fall. There are people that are falling today because they were too busy criticizing others for not standing tall enough to stay humble enough to watch themselves. Did you know you can look around the congregation and always see what everybody else needs? But this ain't about them today. God knows what we all need. And you start moving away from the grace that you need, you're in trouble. You'll be backslid soon. You will fall if you keep that attitude. But if you get a humble attitude and say, Lord, it's not my brother, my sister, it's me. Standing in the need of prayer. God resists the proud, but who does he give the grace to? The humble. And grace is more important than power, because without grace to sustain you, all of that power will lie dormant within you. It will be useless to you. Miracle working ability. And we live just like anybody else in this fallen world. It's not because we don't have power. It's because we have never learned the sufficiency of God's grace. We wandered away from the foot of the cross. Brand new believer, come in here and receive Jesus. Man, all he can see is that man on that tree. He just can't wait to get to church because Jesus died for him or her. Oh, I want to love him. I want to serve him. I want to discover his will. I want to take up my cross that I might follow him. Well, here's how this power works, and grace has to be the undergirding. The Bible said, after you have suffered for a while, if need be, he will establish, strengthen, and settle you. That means you're not tossed to and fro. You're not up and down. You're not in and out. He establishes you. And he told to those people he had established, I'm going to make you a pillar, not a pillow. Can you say amen? In Kentucky, we call pillows pillars. Listen, I'll make you a pillar. A pillar. That supporting part of that big stone structure, those great pillars supported that. I'm going to make you a pillar in the house of my God. Can you say amen? I'm going to establish. I'm going to strengthen. And I'm going to settle you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn you resolutely in a right direction. I'm going to let you set that way. Praise God. Until there's no turning you. We're not of them that turn back once that occurs. We're of them that go on and believe to the saving of the soul. Can you say amen? But it only occurs. That strength only comes after you've suffered something. You've got to get to the end of yourself to find out how sufficient His grace is, or you even look for it. Paul wanted him to remove the problem. Take away the pressure. Until God told him what? My what? My Holy Ghost power. Come on, you're not, listen, this ain't the thriller in Manila. Amen. This is a genuine spiritual warfare we're in. Second Corinthians 12:9. I'm just going to read some scripture real quick before we close. Paul has said to God three times, I ask him to remove this hindrance, problem, persecution, pressure, pain. And God answered and said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you're not weak enough to depend on Him, you don't have power. I don't care if you talk in tongues, get revelations, get goosebumps on top of your liver shivers, run the building, prophesy to others. This is not about gifts of the Spirit. This is about your spirit being empowered by the grace of God. And that's why tongue-talking people fall just like anybody else. And they're even in more danger in some cases because they're not grace-oriented people. They're power-oriented people. And if they don't feel God, they can't find God. They don't believe He's with them unless they see something or feel something. That is a faulty faith. Because we look not at the things which are seen. I'm not telling you we don't need to see and God move and we don't need to sense God's presence. But I'm telling you there are times when I'm going through trials, I'm so emotionally bombarded. My emotions are so shocked and rocked by what I'm facing that I can't feel. But that has nothing to do with what I believe. Got to have something that transcends feelings, Pentecostals. If you don't, you're doomed. I don't feel good every Sunday morning. I don't feel like coming to church every Sunday. Does that shock you? Sometimes I've had one of those weeks that I just want to go hide somewhere. I have seen paintings of this mountains and a stream, and I thought, where is that? Can I hitchhike there? I can't afford a plane. Can I hitchhike out there and get there? Can I go out? Can I go out there in that pastoral scene? Can I just melt into that beautiful, peaceful place for a while? Can I lay down in that green pasture? Say, what is that there? Big old cow laying down under a tree. And what is that laying by that cow? That's my pastor. In peace. Listen carefully. Without the grace of God, I'd have been gone a long time ago. I'm talking about just give out, give up. I don't mean go back, but listen, you understand what I'm telling you. Without the grace of God, you're not going to stand. But with the grace of God, the Bible said, my grace. Now, either God's a liar, or we got to get some faith operating in our life. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My strength is perfected when you are weak enough to depend exclusively on my grace. All that power is going to flow. But this grace has to be the foundation for it all. Can you say amen? All of that anointing is going to come forth. But when they bend you over that whipping post, you've got to have grace. When they stone you and leave you for dead and you're ready, your body's hurting, and you feel like giving up, you've got to have something to sustain you. And it's that grace that I give. And grace is not a theological understanding of unmerited favor. Grace means God, through what Christ has done at the cross and the blood of Jesus, is able to not just, listen, when that veil was rent, or say when the veil was rent, it didn't just mean that you could come behind the veil into God's presence. It meant that God could come from behind the veil to where you are in life. And maybe you've never had God show up. But I'm telling you, when He shows up, God was in that jail cell with Paul. God was in that time of testing. That God was in that beating that Paul got. God was with him in a personal, powerful way. Grace allows God to manifest Himself by His Spirit to you at the point of your deepest, darkest need. But you can't write Him off. You've got to believe that He will give you what you need when you need it the most when the time comes. Don't give up on God, and don't give up on yourself, because God won't give up on you. Amen? I told about Rex Humbard last week, as I recall, as we closed this morning. I told about him going, getting beat up after a tent service. Some of the tent preachers got beat up. Well, Paul got beat up. I mean, come on. Jesus got beat up pretty bad. The Bible said, marvel not if the world hate you, it hated me before it hated you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Where does it say that you don't go through anything? Only Christ. I don't go through anything. Only Him. My dad used to sing this song, and you love my daddy, and you may have heard him sing it. Must Jesus bear His cross alone and all the world go free? Yes, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. Can you say amen? But I bear it gladly. I bear it gladly. I wish I didn't feel the weight of it sometimes. But I'm doing it because I'm following a different master. And the master I'm following is worth bearing the cross to follow Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So I am not complaining about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And that's why I get it in the neck, because I'm standing for something that is right in the Word of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But it's okay. Hallelujah. There's joy in this. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And if we can get that same vision in front of us, we can endure it too. And we need what we need. We need the grace to endure, because you cannot escape it. You can't live in a fallen world and escape temptations and testings. No temptation is taking you but what? Such as common to man. You're not unique. You're just like the rest of us. You say, Brother Bimble, you must be his pet. Oh, if you could just walk in my shoes for a while. You say, Brother Bimble, if you could just walk in my shoes. Here's the good news. Jesus has walked in all of our shoes. Hallelujah. And you know what He said to us? He said, cheer up. Cheer up. In this world, this fallen world, in that faulty body, you shall have tribulation. I promise it. And then the next thing out of his mouth was, be of good cheer. Isn't that an incredible thing to say? You're going to go through all this pressure. Actually, the word is thelpsis. It's a heavy-duty Greek word. Thelpsis. It means anguish, pressure, trouble. Cheer up. I have overcome the world. You say, well, what's that to me? Well, he lives in you. He promised this world overcoming Christ. Promised to never leave you. He made a personal commitment. And to never forsake you. He promised to go with you all the way. Even to the end of the age. And he said to his disciples when he sent them forth, and lo, I am with you always. We're in the south, so I'm going to say it in southern. Look at him. I'm with you always. Can you say, I want you to see this. I want you to get this. One man was afraid to get on an airplane. He saw Oral Roberts on the plane that he got on. He breathed a sigh of relief. He said, Brother Oral, I'm so glad to see you on this plane because I've got such a fear of flying. And Oral Roberts told him, well, the Lord told us, lo, I'm with you always. He said, that's right. Lo, I'm with you. Dave Wilkerson had a fear of flying. Dave Wilkerson, who established Teen Challenge, who went from a sleepy little Assembly of God church and a little congregation. He got to pray, and when he got to pray and helped me reach souls, God stirred him up, landed him in New York City, sleeping in his car in a gang-infested area where they don't only hijack your car, they kill you. And in The Cross and the Switchblade book and the movie they made of it, Dave Wilkerson is sleeping in his car in a place the cops won't even come unless you call them. They beat on the window, woke him up, said, man, what are you doing down here? Skinny white boy. Hispanic gangs and all kind of other gangs. And he said, I had perfect peace. You know why? Because when God sent him to New York City, he gave him grace to go. Everybody said grace to go. I'm going to say it again. Oh, it's too late to embroider this. I think I already seen it in a Christian bookstore. I wish I'd have thought of it first. It's biblically substantiated. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Brother Vimble, do you think you could preach to 10,000? I've been there and done that in Haiti. Did it scare you to see that crowd? No, there were so many of them, I couldn't see anybody's personal face. What scares me is this crowd. It takes a lot more grace to preach to 25 or 30 because I can see everybody's expression. 10,000 people, just a sea of faces. I just preach to the sea. But when I come in here, I'm looking at every one of you. We make eye contact, don't we? I just looked at him a while ago and he said, he. No, he didn't. He's a sweet guy. He smiled at me. Now he did anyway. Amen. We make eye contact. We're up close and personal. I can smell your aftershave. Listen, everybody here needs grace. And Dave had it on him, didn't even realize it. What was sustaining him? Sufficient grace. He wasn't afraid. Nicky Cruz came up to him, a gang leader. His daddy was a warlock. His mother was a witch. That's what he grew up in. That's all he ever knew. And he was a gang leader. Nicky Cruz is now a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Police had confiscated a lot of weapons from the gang, so they would tear one of the old radio arrows, the one you pull up manually, amen, and they'd take it off a car and sharpen the end of it and use it like a shank in a prison. And Nicky Cruz came, and at that time he had a switchblade. He put a switchblade on Dave's neck, and he said, I could cut you in 1,000 pieces. And with that grace on him, and honey, you've got to have grace on you to, I could cut you into 1,000 pieces. And he said, go ahead. Every piece will scream, I love you. Nobody ever told him that they loved him. Not his mama, not his daddy, his fellow gang members. Can you say? Nobody had ever told Nicky Cruz that they loved him, let alone that God could love him. And that old hardened, stony heart melted like butter. And he came to Christ as his prayer. You know what? That sowed a seed for the gospel. And he said, they preached on street corners in New York City to those gang members, and nobody came to Jesus. And one day, Nicky Cruz stepped up while he was preaching and said, "Hey, preach! You're coming through." Oh, it's so good when the Holy Ghost takes the gospel and a heart begins to open and he begins to plant that holy seed. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I like it when I feel like I'm coming through. Because that means God's word is finding its target. It's finding its mark. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Preacher coming through. And he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's still preaching the gospel today. Part of the legacy of David Wilkerson. But listen to this. This is where this is going as we close. David Wilkerson got on a plane with C.M. Ward, the premier preacher for the Assembly of God, radio minister for the Assembly of God years ago. He preached until he couldn't stand up. When he couldn't stand up, they sit him in a chair at a table, and he preached sitting in the chair. What a man of God. C.M. Ward, champion, soldier. But he understood, appreciated, and appropriated grace. Not just the anointing. Come on, Pentecostals. You know we're power conscious all the time. And when we move away from grace, regardless of how powerfully anointed you are, you don't have the strength to use those gifts. You don't. You just give up, give over. That's why Paul wrote Timothy. He said, "It's faith in you. It's in your mama. It was in your grandmama. And I'm convinced it's in you." Hallelujah. Stir up. Believe. Use your faith. Stir up the gift that is within you. Can you say, man, by the laying on of hands? Hallelujah. Praise God. Fan into flame the fire that threatens to go out by neglect. One Greek word said all of that. Stir up. Ha. That fire that threatens to go out by what? Neglect. You still have to use your faith. You still got to believe when you pray. If we're not going to believe, why pray? What is the point? When you stand pray, listen, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. For nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? And nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He that believeth on me will have everlasting life. Praise God. He that believeth on me, he shall never die. He that believeth not shall perish. But he that believeth, everything changes when you just put your faith in him. So Dave gets on the plane. He sees C.M. Ward. He sits near C.M. Ward. And he says, "C.M. Ward, I got a question to ask you." David is sweating. The nervous sweats on him. He's seen gang members come to Jesus. He's seen this whole ministry of Teen Challenge that's still going on in cities all across America. When they first came to Tampa, I went to the Teen Challenge house where they were bringing people off the streets. When they first came to Tampa, and I remember they had a kitchen in that old house, and they had all kinds of addicts off the streets, and they were singing Christian songs, and they had hot dogs and chili dogs for the evening meal, and they rang that little dinner thing, you know, kind of like they did in the old West. They had ding, 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 and all them people hungry, boy, they went running for the kitchen where they had this big long table set up to feed them. And there was a bench like this that sit about 8 inches into that kitchen doorway, and inevitably somebody would go running in there and hit their shin on that. And when they hit their shin on that, it hurt. How many know your shin is vulnerable? And they'd start hopping on one foot when they hit it. Said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord." And I told, they did that. And I told him, I said, why don't you cut that off? You could take a saw and just cut that off. He said, it's our religion tester. He said, when they hit that and they holler what they used to holler when they hit it, we know we need to get them back in the Word and back on their knees. But he said, when they hit that and they said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah, Phoenix, Arizona. He said he taught them to say the capital of the state. Oh, Phoenix, Arizona. St. Louis, Missouri. You know what? When Christians get to where they can take those hits that life is going to give us all and say, Lord, I'm going to praise you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. You're going to come to me if I won't run from you. Can you say, man, I'm not going to run from you when I'm discouraged. I'm going to run to you. So Dave is sweating those great nervous sweats. He said, see him, I want to ask you a question. He said, I have preached to gang members that threatened to kill me with perfect peace. He said, I've been places the popo don't want to go and had perfect peace on me. He said, but when I get on, he said, I have established that there's a movie made called The Cross and the Switchblade. Books are out there. People are coming to Jesus all over America. Drug addicts are getting set free. They called him as we closed. They called him to Washington, D.C. He wrote a little book called The Jesus Factor. They called him to D.C., this Pentecostal preacher. And they brought him in to senators and congressmen. And they told him that day they would give him $1 million in grants to run and head and build drug rehabilitation centers. But there was one catch to it. Church and state. You can't. They told him, we're prepared to give you a $1 million grant today. You know why they did that? Because the government programs with all the drug problem here in America was 80% effective. Dave had, 20% effective. 2 out of 10 got off and stayed off within a year. Dave, 8 out of 10. Because he didn't just try to help them get free from the drugs, he brought them to know Christ as their Savior. And he wrote a little book called The Jesus Factor. Because he said, but you can't mention a deity. Honey, be careful about Saul's armor. Be careful about the arm of flesh. It can only take you so far. Oh, but God's mighty arm can take you all the way. Can you say, man, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And there's a name given. There's a name given. There's a name given of a mighty deliverer, Yeshua. It's a New Testament derivative of Old Testament Hebrew Joshua. Amen. It means a deliverer, a Savior has come. Can you say, man, hallelujah. In the city of David is born a cute little baby. No, in the city of David is born a Yeshua. A mighty Savior and Deliverer has come. Dave said, you take Jesus out. There is no drug rehabilitation program. I have nothing to offer without Christ. So the government kept its money and Dave kept Jesus. And there's teen challenges in every city, major city in America. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. But Dave is on the airplane, sweating those nervous sweats. After all of this, that God's grace sustained him to achieve. And he said, see him, Ward. Told him all the achievements, all the places he'd been, all the peace he had had for this, that, and the other. He said, but see him, I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. believed and believed and believed and believed that when I get on an airplane, I could have peace. He said, see him? I got that cold, clammy. He said, when I have to be somewhere and I can't drive and take a train, he said, I have to get on a plane to get there to take care of that meeting. I know God wants me there. But he said, when I get on a plane, I can't help it. It just hits me. And I have to pray and pray and pray. I have to believe the whole trip and just talk to the Lord. See, him said, Dave, God, no matter how powerfully he uses you, he will leave something in your life to remind you how much you need him. Amen. So if you get on here and you have to say, Jesus, 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 help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. That's where your strength comes from, is Jesus. Hallelujah. And David said, I can fly and call on Jesus. Did he conquer it? No, God conquered him. You think God might be able to conquer you? You think maybe he could lead you? Listen, the Bible, I got to tell this one more thing. The Bible said that he always leads us in triumph. And we think that means he just gives me victory after victory after victory. No, he leads us in triumph. And what is pictured is when you conquer a king or a nation, you take that king and you put a rope around his neck like he's a cow. And to humiliate him and keep him humble, you drag him along in triumph. Look at the great king of this great nation that we just conquered. You know what Paul is saying? I've been conquered by Christ. I'm the doulos of Jesus Christ. I'm the bond slave of Jesus. He has conquered my pride. He's conquered my self-sufficiency. He's conquered my arrogance. He's conquered my self-will. Sold out to Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! He leads me in triumph. He's my master. He's my king. He's my Lord. I serve him and him alone. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I'm weak, he gives me the sufficiency of his grace. And then I become truly strong. Wow. If you could listen to 20 messages of Jimmy Swaggart's before he fell, you'd be hard-pressed to find grace in them. It's a challenge to you. I listened to 20 before. I listened to a whole bunch more than 20. But after, there's grace in there. There's grace in there now. He looked at people with sins and gave them that. Amen? It was the truth. They were headed for hell. But that grace and mercy wasn't there. But it's there now. It's there now because without the grace of God, he couldn't have been restored. Without the grace of God, his family would have fell apart. Without the grace of God, he would have been a castaway. Can you say amen? But through the grace of God, there's restoration. Hallelujah. How many Pentecostals know we need grace now? You got that much of this message as we prepare to close. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one can boast. James 4, 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God resists or opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. Romans 16, 14, for sin shall have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Romans 11, 6, but it is by grace, so it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace would be no longer grace. 1 Corinthians 15, 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Woo! I outpreached, I outsuffered, I outdid any of them. A Amen. But it wasn't really me. It was the grace sustaining me. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. 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 Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and grace to help in the time of any need. Romans 3:24, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And it just keeps going. John 1:16, and from His fullness we've all received grace upon grace. Can you say amen? John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory. Glory as the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Woo! So the next time you're thinking about how powerful you are, buckle up with grace. Can you say amen? Buckle up with something that'll hold you and keep you and sustain you. Hallelujah. Some of you are suffering now. I wrote Terry an email, two of them this week, and one of them, what God inspired me to write him was out of the book of Hebrews. Because it says, for yet, this is the way God looks at things, and we don't see it this way. So I know you'll get this as we close. For yet a little while. Everybody say a little while. And he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. A little while. We think of a little while as a day or two. Yet a little while. And you know where our faith wavers? It's during that interim where we believe God, trust God, pray, and there's an interim. Because we are impatient people. We are trapped in time. God is not a prisoner of time. And you know what it said? It said in the last day, scoffers are going to come. Where's the sign of His coming? And they're going to start talking about time. Amen. Been all this time. He hadn't showed up, so forget about it. For ever since our father slept, everybody say time. All this time has passed. Amen. He said this one thing they're ignorant of. A day's 1,000. You say, Brother Benjamin, it's going to take God 1,000 years. No, but it's going to take more time than you want it to take. Can you say amen? God is not on the Timex nor Rolex. Amen. He is not on your schedule. That's how they say it in Great Britain. He's not on your schedule. Can you say amen? He's not on my schedule. So Paul said, after you were illuminated, here's that suffering part that establishes you if you'll trust Him through it. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. But you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while. There's some things I've been praying about for years. God said that. That's time. In my economy, that's not very long. Hang in there. How bad do you want to see them say? Are they worth the time? Are they worth the effort? Are they worth your intercession? You know what happens to prayer? It never leaves him. It's in the presence of God. Your mama's prayers for you are sitting in the throne room of God today. How do you know? Because John was there and saw the throne room. And he was looking around and he saw golden vials filled with vapors, incense. And he said, What are these? I can see right through those transparent gold vials. They're as transparent as the streets up here. I can see inside, and it looks like vapor inside those vials, and they're right in the presence of God. What is this? Angel said, these are the prayers of the saint. Where do they go? Right straight to the throne room of Almighty God. What does He do with them? He preserves them in His presence. until in his wisdom and in his will, in his eternal purpose, and in his timing, he answers. Hallelujah. Wow, hallelujah. Oh, I know we're not on the same page because I don't think you could take what's on me right now. I don't think you're up to it. You're way younger than me, but I don't think you could handle it. Amen. Religion is a humdrum doldrum. Amen. But it's not a humdrum doldrum for me. I serve a living God, a loving God, a listening God, and a lifting God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I serve a mighty King. And I wish I could tell you that I've suffered for a while. How long do you want to suffer? Zero. How long you want to wait? I want it yesterday. For yet a little while. Hold on. Just a little while longer. James Cleveland. Sometimes I'm going through it. I hear that song. Hold on. Just a little while longer. Hold on, just a little while longer. Hold on, just a little while longer. Hold on, hold on. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. You gotta hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your faith on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For he that shall come, this is not the rapture nor the second coming. This is God saying, today is the day that prayer is answered. Today's the day that breakthrough's going to come. Because my servant hold it on. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Woo! I've been holding on. It seemed like a long, long time. But it's really just a little while. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm encouraged to hold on till the answer comes. So you might say that after you've suffered for a while, you're going to be sold out. Can you say amen? Your mind's going to be made up. And that double-mindedness is going to leave. And God is going to pull you through everything that you face. And you're going to look back and say, Lord, Lord, I'm so grateful that you didn't give up on me and that you helped me by grace not to give up on you. Will you stand to your feet today? Let's sing this song. There's an old adage. You can lead a horse to water. Hello? Brother Taylor? I know these are sheep and not horses, but they're similar. You can lead sheep to water. I can't make you drink. And I can't drink for you. But I can lead you to the living water. Can you say amen? I'm going to dare you to start drinking from the fountain. Drinking from the streams of living water. Happy now and I, because everything's just right. No, because my soul is satisfied. Hallelujah. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You can sit at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Can you say amen? I'm going to keep setting the table. Handa mamaho solianda. Keshalabarite. Kila boho satire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep drawing from that well. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. And one of these days, somebody is going to pull their chair up to that table. Somebody's going to drink deep from that fountain. Hallelujah. And I'm going to have a battle partner in this church. Hallelujah. Somebody that said, all of thine heart do, because I'm with you. preach it. I'm going to amen it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not just with my mouth, but in my heart. Glory to God. Some captive is going to get set free. Somebody that's leaning on the arm of flesh is going to jump over into the realm of the Holy Spirit again. So I'm going to keep on keeping on, church, because I'm sold out. How many are sold out here? You want to be a sold out saint of God? How many have suffered for a while? But He's going to establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Let's sing this song. There will be a memorial service when they get the food ready and the people get here. It'll be a little pause, a memorial service. If you want to stay for that, you're welcome. I'm glad you came today.